Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I am your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite gardeners, Lance and Lulu. Good evening. Yeah.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. You just had a nice shower.
Nice shower. I hear there's a rainbow out there.
Yeah. Gotta be.
Rainbow. And we're at the bottom of that rainbow getting ready to talk about gardening. Yep. 527-486-8 1-866 KVNF. Now it is live call-in, and we're looking for you to give us a ring, let us know what's going on in your garden, or ask our experts a question. And it's starting to heat up, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love this when it starts to really, when you're sure, you know?
Right.
It's for sure going to be green in summer and all that.
Yeah, you can see the hope and the future of that.
Yeah.
We're moving a little bit from clean up to putting things in the ground and actually getting into the season.
Yeah. I still got a little bit of edging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I'm
edging your beds or
the beds, you know, because there are places, because I don't use edging on my for the lawn.
No, I don't either.
So I have to dig the grass out. And there's some places, only places where it's really bad is where there's quack grass in the lawn. And the quack grass can go underground 2 and 3 feet before it pokes its head back up. And that's the hard stuff.
That stuff is hard. It's hard to get a shovel around that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even if you do get a shovel around it and then it breaks off and any place there are those little notes, it'll start again.
It'll start again. So it's just an ongoing thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So edging the beds and making compost.
Making compost.
Yeah. What do you have going for compost this time of year, Lulu? Are you just getting prepared?
No. My compost pile was up over the brim, and now it's down again, and the worms are working, and, it's just happening. But and the chicken yard. The chicken yard is my compost, and I've got old bales in there of hay that are, oh, man, are they going to make great paths, you know, and mulch when I put the garden in so I don't, you know, mulch in between the rows and stuff. They're going to be fabulous because they're all rotten and nasty and fabulous.
Just the way we like it.
I remember reading an article in Rodale Press probably 15 years ago, Organic Gardening's Rodale Press, and it was a great way. These people were on an island off of North Carolina or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
One of those barrier islands, whatever they call them.
Right.
Yeah.
Out there. And they made their chicken coop, and they had one side was open all year and fenced. They had 2 yards, and one side, that was the chicken yard. The other side was the garden, and they just switched it back and forth.
Oh, man.
And they just used the chickens.
Yeah.
And, you know, and
wow, I like that.
You know, and
sweet.
They
good thinking.
And it's all right there. So there's many ways to do it. I mean, I like making compost piles, and it's all separate and clean. Lulu's using her chickens and
chickens
doing it this
and
way.
Compost, you know.
But there's many different ways. And you got worms, too.
Yeah, I got lots of worms.
Mm-hmm.
When the chickens don't find them. But then when you should see when the chickens find them, it's like a feeding frenzy. They're all, in there. Yeah. It's great. Little velociraptors that they are.
Right.
Filthy little rats. All right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some things you've noticed, Lance, are not composting for you.
Oh, that's the corks from wine bottles. Now, these are not my wine bottles, but
you can't get rid of the cork in the compost.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. They just don't. Totally, perfectly, not even broken down. They're just dirty, but there they are.
Right. Interesting.
So don't put corks in because they won't break down. It's a waste of time. Maybe you could use, they'd be the perfect mulch. Last forever.
Whoa. That just gave me a huge idea.
I bet it did.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in.
Yeah. The other one was the iris rhizomes. They take a while. And I dug out the iris bed last year. And technically, you throw out about 90% of the rhizomes. And now they're going through the compost pile. And some go through the shredder and some do not.
Yeah. Oh,
some are still growing.
A little bit tough, right? Yeah. Right.
So I threw a piece of the horseradish in the compost pile.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, friend was back there and goes, "What's that in the compost, growing in the compost pile?" You know, it could be anything, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's how it is, right? And I said, "What?" where? And here are these huge horseradish leaves. It's like, how did I miss them? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, did you eat them?
No, I have horseradish to eat if I want.
Okay.
Do you eat the leaves?
The leaves are really good.
Mm.
And salad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sounds really tasty.
Yeah. Just a little bit. It's a mustard.
Sure.
It'd be like a mustard green in there.
Yeah, like arugula or sorrel. Mm-hmm. Well, sorrel's not a mustard, but like arugula or mustard.
You'd have to taste it to know how much to put in.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. Oh, cool. Good. One more thing.
Hey, 527-486-81-866 KVNF now. Lance and Lulu are here to take your call. And I actually have an email from one of our avid listeners, Tara. She's got a couple questions here. You know, we talked about asparagus a few weeks ago and how to properly harvest that at the ground level.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I spend half my asparagus hunting time cleaning up the spears with broken off tops from the person who beat me to them. So I think she wants everybody to know how to properly cut that asparagus.
Yeah, you cut it going. Take a knife and you cut it right at the base, if not right underground.
Right at the soil level, and maybe just, you know, you can stick it, if the soil's going to accommodate you, just go a little bit below.
Yeah, and the reason you do that is if you leave those stumps, like she mentioned, and the plant still thinks it has is growing, and so it doesn't put up new shoots.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The plant's goal in life is to make more of itself, right? So it's got these shoots. It's going to set seeds in the fall, and if you don't get it all, it's kind of like a dandelion. You know, no, it's the opposite. Never mind. You got to get it all. You got to get it all. That's all there is to it.
Because
then it thinks its job is done. Mm-hmm. You know, it thinks, oh, I sent this shoot up and life is good, and it's not, but the plant thinks it is.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Cut it low underneath and it'll reproduce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll reproduce. And another thing is if you notice that a patch sometime in the next month is not producing very much, stop cutting it because it needs to reproduce for next year. It needs to grow tops and stuff to reproduce the crowns, feed the crowns and roots for next year. And that's what asparagus they're called crowns.
And if you plant asparagus, if you ever want to start an asparagus patch, you really shouldn't harvest any of it for about 3 years.
For about 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It'd be 4 years if you did by seed, and it'd be 3 years if you do it by crowns.
Right.
Because you're trying to get that root system and the crowns set up, you know. Now, I have some friends that they have, I think it's their second year of asparagus beds. Well, it was going to freeze really hard. Well, what the heck? They're going to get frozen off.
Yeah.
So they went and harvested, had a handful of asparagus.
Right. You know. So you've got to be patient to get going. But then once you do, I mean, that plant is just going to give you asparagus.
Forever and ever.
Right.
Yeah. If you don't over-harvest it. I mean, and if you feed it. They're pretty, they like nutrition.
Yes, they like to be fertilized.
Which would be kelp or...
No. They want nitrogen.
They want the nitrogen. Mm-hmm.
A big bang.
Yeah. Big bang.
Yep. They want the big...
So you would do compost and manure in the fall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
compost tea, manure tea.
And manure tea is really during good. The growing season.
Mm-hmm.
I do that. I'll need to start. I haven't done it yet, but I will.
Yeah. I got the turd tote, which is my compost tea maker, is I've got willow bark, tea with a little bit of compost.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's going to be fabulous. I can't wait to use it.
We talked about willow bark last year.
I forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a root stimulant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, root stimulant.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I was so glad to remember that last year because I thought, you know, I just need a little something. And that's it.
That's going to do it.
Yeah.
And I just like that tea format, you know, that tea.
Yeah, I do too. It's so easy to use, man.
So easy. Hey, okay, we got Mike on the line from Paonia, and he's got a question about planting asparagus. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I've got a couple of questions.
Okay.
One, I had seen that they said when you're buying the starts that you want to have an absolutely weed-free zone because those are hybrids and they won't compete. True?
Yeah, well.
Stump the chump.
Yeah. It's nice to start weed-free, you know, and...
Are we talking the starts weed-free, or are we talking the...
No, just that they said, you know, like even if it takes you a year to work the area where you're going to plant to make sure there are no flipping weeds.
Yeah. It will definitely help.
Yeah, it will definitely help.
So, okay, part two of the question then is, I know where there are some fatties, you know, growing in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if in the fall, say around Thanksgiving or whatever, a fella could go out with a well-placed shovel and bring them home.
I've done the same thing.
Sure.
Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And I did it, personally, I did it on Garvin Mesa. There was a vineyard there, and they were going to get rid of all the asparagus in that old, it was originally an apple orchard, and they were going the original owners were going to, at that time, were going to take all the asparagus out. So I went in there and...
Ta-da. And there's a real technique to planting them, too. You dig a nice big trench, and you put a hill in down the middle of it. At least that's the way I've always done it.
Yeah.
And you spread your roots down on either side of the hill into the trench, and then fill it in with your best stuff. You're really, you know, well-rotted manure and nice fabulous topsoil and soil and compost, and you're off. You're off and running.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm old enough to appreciate how fast 3 years to the first harvest will go by, but young enough to appreciate I could get 20 years out of it.
Yes.
I knew an asparagus patch in New England that was over 200 years old.
Oh, my word. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yep. It had been in that garden for 200 years.
Wow.
Super cool.
So there you go. You're off. You're going to get it.
Cheers.
You're going to have so much fun. Cheers.
Yeah, have fun, Mike. All right, asparagus. You had some big fatties in your garden, Lance.
I do. And those actually were volunteer seedlings.
Really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Betsy, and
from the wild ones that I had dug out. And the wild ones are going to have those big fat ones. And that's usually the female plant.
Okay.
Uh-huh. The male plant produces a lot of smaller, slender ones. And that's actually what they use commercially is actually the male asparagus plant because it produces more of those edible sized ones. What are those about?
Half inch, quarter inch,
somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Whereas the females, they'll send out those, you know, 1 inch diameter ones.
Yeah, and they're tough.
You know,
they can be tougher.
They
too.
Can.
Yeah, they are a little bit tougher, but still tasty.
But the trick is to take the asparagus and hold it by the tip and the bottom tail, and just bend it, and it'll snap right where it's meant to snap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll just come right off. Makes a little noise like that.
This is after you cut it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after you cut it. Yeah, don't do it before you cut it. Good.
Right.
How many times do we have to tell you?
That's it. Okay. Good asparagus tips there, and thanks for the call on that. 527-486-8166 KVNF now. I have another question from Tara, and she sent her questions to worm@kvnf.org.
Oh, our fabulous email.
Fabulous email. Her question is about lamb's quarter / pigweed. Same thing or not?
No,
not the same thing. Okay, let me read you her question. Last year you mentioned some varieties of lamb's quarter are not edible. How do I tell the difference, especially when young? She's been eating all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And noticed that some leaves seem more serrated than others, taste the same. She also grows rose auric.
Yeah.
Some
red
of which
orange.
Is red green, orange. But she knows the difference on that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, pigweed is a type of wild amaranth.
Oh.
It's not lamb's quarter. Now, some people might call lamb's quarter pigweed, but it's not.
It's not.
And the one lamb's quarter or that looks similar is it has a reddish blush to it. The leaves and stuff will have some red to it.
Yeah.
And it's smaller, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a little smaller. And it doesn't have that thickness either.
No.
The leaves don't have that thick
mm-hmm.
Thing. And then as my lamb's quarter right now is beautiful and Peking. No, it's not even close to Peking, but it's just gorgeous. And I've been eating it for a week.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And so, and then as it gets older, it gets a little bit of that fuzz on it.
Uh-huh.
That's all right. Then you just wash that. You're just in the process of washing it. That comes off. But yeah, the red stuff. But it won't, it's not poisonous. It's just not as
good. I've heard of people eating the stuff with the red blush, and it's not poisonous, but it's just not as good.
It's just not as good. The ones that we're talking about are, God, they're good.
And they'll get 3 or 4 feet tall.
Or more.
Yeah, and the lamb's quarter in that weed thing that it gave you indicates good soil.
Good soil, that's right.
3 to 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Oh, and even more.
Easy.
Yeah. If it's in a place where, you know, sometimes I just will let a plant go to seed, and it's very nomadic. It goes all over the garden. You never know where it's going to show up. And this year it showed up beautifully. Last year I didn't have so much, so go figure. How did I get it this year? I don't know.
Nice.
But there were a couple of plants that I let, you know, I didn't have a lot last year, but I let a couple go. But if it's in a real prime spot and it's getting good water and it's in good soil, it'll get 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. It'll get huge.
Yeah. And just, this is going, she also mentioned orach.
Yes, rose
orach.
Yes.
There's red and there's green. And it's very similar to lamb's quarter. And the best and almost only way to get that is to let it plant it in the fall. That cold stratifying, it just was wonders. If this time of year, if you try to plant it now, you would
it's not so much.
No.
Yeah, plant it in the fall, enjoy the winter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's another one that I used to have more of it in my garden, but it's kind of taken itself out. Mm-hmm. It's not there anymore, but that was another one that would just show up.
Yeah, I think I had it last year. I said, "Where did this come from?"
Yeah, love that stuff. When that happens.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, David from Cedar Edge is on the line with a question. Good evening, David.
Hey, Thumbs. I have a question about peach borer, and I wanted to know when is the best time to treat for it. For stong on the stong fruit, if there is better time, and what do you recommend for that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Hush fell over the crowd again.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's tough. Okay, you first.
I know that they're very temperamental, and timing's important.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to read that up on. Okay. But the warmer it gets, the more active, obviously, they're gonna be.
Okay.
And spinosad.
Yeah, spinosad. And I've just dug them out. I mean, are you talking?
Well, I thought my understanding is that they go through a phase where they are in the ground and they start to, go up through the bottom of the tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I've read that maybe treating them with neem at a certain point might be good. But I was just curious, is there a way to know when that might be that you could spray around the base of some of your trees?
You'd have to talk to the Extension Service or any peach grower.
Okay.
I don't know that. I know it's there. I know that you have to time it.
Right.
And where your peaches are, or is it?
It's on plums, prunes, and apricots.
Okay, but is the soil dirt?
Yes. No. Well, these are older trees. These are older trees.
Yeah. But is it dirt or grass?
Both.
Both.
Because there's a lot of grass there.
Yeah. If you cultivate, the birds will come and eat some of them.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's one way to – it's a small part of the problem. But you could cultivate. Just take a cultivator out there. But you could do neem. But there's spinosad, and it's for borers.
Okay.
And I'm not – sure, the stores in Cedar Ridge, but Fertilome carries a product for borers.
Okay.
And the main ingredient is spinosad.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? That's great.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks, David. Good luck with
that. Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
I had borers in my peach tree. I have them regularly, and I have to go and, but I only have one peach tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to pay attention. And when I see those jelly
yeah.
things coming, you know, then I have to get it. And I used a combination of bleach and water.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean the jelly things? Is it coming off the bark? Is that where you see it?
It looks like that glomerosa mm-hmm. stuff.
It's when they drill their holes. If the tree's healthy, it seals the hole with its sap.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it looks gummy.
It okay. looks gummy.
And then it's small.
Yeah. And so what I do is I scrape the gummy stuff out. And then usually you can find those little rascals mm-hmm. right in there and mm-hmm. get rid of them.
You do a little surgery is what you do, huh?
One tree, great. Uh-huh.
Yeah, one tree. Right. Yeah, no problem, right? Yeah. Easy. Easy peasy. So that's what I do. And it works. It works fine. That's... But if you had a lot of trees, it would be a problem.
Got to watch all that stuff right
yeah.
now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
527-486-8186 KVNF now. Lance, you planted your nasturtium, which you said is a squash bug deterrent.
Yeah, and I planted them 2 weeks ago because they like to come up in the cool weather. So obviously then that means my squash bed is ready. So right. I planted it in between every other hill of squash where they're going. And it's a deterrent to the squash bug.
Okay. When are you putting the squash in? When does that go in?
Minimum of 2 weeks later.
Yeah. 2 more weeks.
A minimum. I think that my friend wants to come from Gunnison, and she has the planting guide, and I think the 14th and 15th or 16th, somewhere in there.
May?
Of May are our fruit days. And it's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to wait.
No, mm-hmm. I never. You know what I do? You know me. I wait till the 11th hour, and mm-hmm. I put them in the end of June.
Oh, do you really?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then by that time, the squash bugs are gone, pretty much.
Oh, yep. There you go.
See, so you outfox them.
Yeah.
And your squash does marvelous.
Yeah, the squash is fine.
So, yeah, there's these timing things. You can do the same thing with beans. Plant them 2 weeks. You know, the optimum time is late May, early June. We'll plant them in mid-June or late June.
And then you don't get the beetles.
The mm-hmm. Mexican bean beetle.
Yeah. 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 I like that.
I had a few bean beetles last year, but not serious.
Yeah. I'm isolated enough that I don't get that many squash bugs, and they're easily handpicked.
Yeah, me too. I don't get a lot of squash bugs mm-hmm. either. Because I think I don't really know, but I find them dead in the house. That's the part that blows me away. Like I put the screens in the other day, right? And so you're lifting up the windows, you know, and I'll find one on the windowsill somewhere or something.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And bugs are where you find them.
Yeah. and when the floors were being poured in the house, they walked in the wet cement.
I love that.
And they left little trails. It's really cool.
That's a great garden story.
Yeah, somebody 1,000 years from now, no, 20, 50 years from now, is going to be picking up the tiles in the house and find all these tracks. It's cool.
Critters.
Yeah.
All right, 527-486-8186 KVNF now. I have to mention the gift that keeps on giving, the overwintering spinach bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And still going at it.
Still going at it.
Unbelievable. Still,
yeah.
And but you're getting ready to do something with that. You were going to put tomatoes in that bed.
Yeah, I changed my mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put pearl millet in when that spinach is done.
Pearl millet.
Not quite, because the spinach will be really, really will be done in the next week or so.
Yeah.
It's bolting.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. stuff. And
So when you get ready to put the pearl millet in, how are you going to prepare that? You're going to pull that spinach or chop it off, or what are you doing?
We'll see how it comes up. If I can pull it, I'll pull it. Otherwise, I'll just chop it off.
Chop it off and...
Right under the ground. There's a taproot. Spinach has a taproot. Mm-hmm. Leave it in the ground, and then I'll broad fork it. Since it's been there since last September, grass has grown in on the edges.
Yeah,
so bluegrass stuff, so I'll have to dig that out here and there.
Mm-hmm. But again, you're leaving that in the good.
Yeah, and I'm not going to fertilize it.
Okay.
If you fertilize some of these grains, they don't like it at all.
Huh.
Yeah, and pearl millet's one of them.
Pearl's one of them, huh?
Yeah.
There you go. That broccoli that overwintered and that DeCiccio broccoli mm-hmm. that was mm-hmm. so puny last year, oh My God, are those leaves good in a salad right now?
Oh, I bet. Yeah, fresh and tender.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's starting to produce little tiny broccoli heads.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but it's probably going to bolt, you know.
Yeah, well, you got to eat those too.
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds yummy. This is a great time. We're already grazing in the yard.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The other thing that's so good right now is the garlic. The
greens.
Wild the mm-hmm. wild yeah. garlic that, you know, is on its first year and just mm-hmm. it's like a onion.
Ooh,
it's like a green onion. Mm. Oh my God, it's so heavenly. But you smell like garlic a lot. But it's
we
delicious.
Get used to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Joel from Norwood is on the line with a bug question. Hi, Joel.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I have been battling earwigs on honeysuckle bushes for the last several years. I've got three or four really fantastic bushes. They have flourished in the last few years. Unbelievable devastation at the hands of the earwigs. And wondering if you guys had any kind of clues. No, I never knew they were so destructive. And
in large numbers, they are destructive.
Yes.
And oh, no, they're devastating. And they are nocturnal, so my tactic has been going out with actually hand picking them at times. They get tedious because they are in large numbers, but safer insecticidal spray works really well, kills them dead. But I can put on $10 per night.
Oh my God!
No. I mean, it is. It's it's bigger than me right now. And I was wondering if you had any clues to maybe heading them off because they haven't appeared yet. It hasn't gotten warm enough or whatever the conditions are.
Are you mulching?
You know, I'm not mulching.
Do you have piles of debris around?
Negative. In fact, the bushes themselves are mulched with dry gravel. Uh-huh. And the one thing that doesn't contribute to them...
Okay, keep going.
Well, I was just thinking if it was mulch, you're giving them a winter home.
Yeah, exactly. Not that much I've learned. But when they do hole up during the day, it is in the adjacent posts of my porch, which are old pine posts with lots of checks and cracks. They love it in there.
Uh-huh. Well, so, you could just continue to start trapping them. And you could use any type of pipe.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they'll go in there, and then you take that pipe and dump it in a bucket of water that has kerosene or oil.
Yeah,
or something.
Do something really unnatural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just got to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
And they love that deck and those cracks.
And if they're going there, you know, I've always heard you can take a newspaper and get it wet and roll it. And you know, not soupy, soppy, goopy wet, but just damp because that's what they really want. And roll it up and then, just get ugly. And then they tell all their little friends and they go away.
Well, you can do that with orange pills, half orange pills, any type of, turn it upside down. And that's where they want to stay.
They want to stay under there. It sounds, you also, that Sluggo Plus is working on earwigs now.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Is that like a ground treatment?
It's called Sluggo.
I've tried diatomaceous earth, and that has absolutely no effect on them.
Yeah, no, they don't care. No.
Yeah. Sluggo Plus, okay.
You know, the other thing, just I don't know how many trunks on each one of these honeysuckle bushes.
Mm-hmm. Several.
Several. Well, this will help a little bit. This is one of the strategies. Put Tanglefoot on them.
Oh, yeah, then there's
Tanglefoot.
Yeah, Tanglefoot. That's cool stuff.
It's this really sticky, yucky stuff.
Nasty.
And you put it on the bark on trunks so the bugs can't crawl
They
up.
Can't climb up whatever it is.
Now some earwigs have wings, so you're not going to get all of them. But it definitely will slow down.
Primarily crawlers. Yeah. And, it's the amount of destruction is unimaginable. They absolutely love the honeysuckles, and they have established themselves.
Yeah. So
I've also heard that they're one of the few insects that actually lay eggs and tend their eggs.
Yes.
So the females will tend their eggs. I'm thinking, you know, if I can get ahead of that entire process, locate where this is happening and eliminate that, then Maybe I won't be so discouraged, but I'm typically out at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Really frustrated.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I got to tell you, too, when you started talking that they were in your honeysuckles, Lance and I looked at each other and just went, what? You know?
No, I know.
You're usually in fruit trees or they're in the head of lettuce.
Yeah.
So cabbage. Many other places for them in my immediate landscape, too, but they have just... Singled in on the honeysuckle, and that's their thing.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, appreciate your time. Appreciate the show.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Joel. Good luck with that, boy.
Yep. Yeah.
Bye.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. I've never heard of it. I've never heard of earwigs and honeysuckle.
No.
Oh, my word. The poor man out there at midnight.
No, don't do that. Yeah. You need your sleep, darling. You need to get some rest.
Go with the Tanglefoot and the Sluggo Plus.
Yeah, try some Sluggo Plus.
And traps. There are
and traps. Amazing.
You can take corrugated cardboard. And you can hold that up.
Oh, yeah,
those
that
are all the
work.
Perfect holes.
Oh, yeah, they would love that.
And then you just discard it every morning.
Right.
And you would just cut it into rolls, say 4 inches. And then roll it up, you know, and then...
It's like putting flypaper out there or something you're trying to...
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't think we have time for another call. We're already to the end of the show. Great callers tonight with some good questions.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Good advice there, gardeners.
What were the weeds we're going to mention? I was going to mention foxtail barley.
Oh, foxtail barley and the white top.
White top.
Oh, yeah. We had someone call about white top a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But tonight you're saying it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
In certain places in full bloom.
Boy, when it's in its own place where it's not bothering anybody, it's absolutely beautiful.
And the insects really like it.
And it's great. Pollinators like it, you know, and it's better than dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's better than raw dirt.
Yeah, and foxtail barley, it just produces so much seed that... Get rid of it. Yeah.
And what is that?
It's a grass, and it has a foxtail. The seed has it coming out now, and it's. I rarely have it, but it shows up sometimes from the hay that I brought in.
Yeah, it'll get in hay.
It's a very distinctive seed head, and if I see it, I stop what I'm doing and just take
you
care
go
of it.
After it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
let it
around.
Get going.
Yeah, you don't, and especially if you're grazing animals, you don't want it. Anywhere near them because they can choke on it.
Yeah.
Get it out. Yeah. See something with a foxtail look.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, that is going to bring us to the end of the show. We're going to be back next week, Tuesday at 6:30, and it's DJ Lou coming up with One Woman's Perspective. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to KVNF.
You've got a cute fast pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.